from KQED.
There are plenty of unanswered questions following a massive explosion and fire at the Chevron oil refinery in Richmond Monday night. Workers there suffered just minor injuries, but the incident sent thousands of nearby residents jamming local hospitals, complaining of trouble breathing and other health problems. Reporter Mina Kim is following the story, and she's here now. And Mina, first of all, what is Chevron saying about all this?
Well, Chevron has submitted an incident report to local officials, as they're legally mandated to do within 72 hours of an incident like this. But reports like these tend to be pretty skeletal. This one just gives a thin summary of what happened as soon as the blaze broke out, who was contacted, things like that. But it doesn't answer one of the big questions, which is what was going on about 2 hours before the fire when staff apparently first detected a leak at the facility? You know, what steps did Chevron workers take between the discovery of the leak and the moment it ignited? And that's certainly a big question for local and state agencies and the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency. I spoke with the EPA's regional administrator, Jared Blumenfeld, who said Chevron is going to need to show him that they had a good plan in place for how to deal with an emergency like this and that they followed it to the letter. If not, the EPA will fine the company, as they have in the past. 9 years ago, Chevron was required to pay $275 million for violating the Clean Air Act.
Yeah, this is a plant that's been in the news, certainly over the years. And what about the air quality near the plant? What do we know about that, particularly in those 48 hours after the incident?
Well, Bay Area air regulators have been testing air samples and smoke particulates released by the fire. Initial results are actually showing that the pollution levels were fairly normal during the fire, and they attribute that to the good weather. There wasn't a lot of wind, so the smoke got pushed high up and was dispersed there.
Well, there were, though, nonetheless, a lot of people complaining. As I said at the top, people went to the hospital complaining of all kinds of health problems. What is the company doing or saying about all that?
You're right. More than 1,700 people went to local emergency rooms shortly after the fire, and people still continue to go. They are complaining of headaches, irritated eyes, and breathing problems. Chevron says it will compensate people for their medical expenses or property damage that was caused by the fire, and they've actually set up a claims process. And I understand that more than 1,500 people have actually called the company hotline, and Chevron has set up a help center to deal with the claims. But, you know, not everyone is pursuing one. Like this Richmond resident, Markel Dean, he says he sees the offer of compensation as a way to keep him quiet.
People don't understand that by accepting that compensation or that whatever they give you, you're really just silencing your voice, you know, your voice to speak out, your voice to, you know, oppose of whatever's going on.
Others have said they won't file a claim because a few hundred dollars isn't going to help them move out of the area, which is what they'd like to do, or help with their kids' chronic asthma or something like that.
On the flip side, there are probably people who see this as an opportunity to cash in. That always happens when there's an incident involving a big company or some public entity with deep pockets.
And there are also other people who acknowledge that Chevron, though it may be a difficult neighbor to have, is a big job producer. And so they don't necessarily want to see the company leave and appreciate this gesture, if you will.
Well, there were, of course, a lot of local effects of all this. But what about statewide or potentially even nationally? This is a big refinery, Mina, as you well know. What impact might this have on, say, gas prices?
We have already seen an increase in the wholesale price of gas in California of about 25 to 30 cents a gallon. And folks throughout the state, I'm sure, have probably been seeing the retail prices creeping up around them. I certainly have, as I've been commuting to San Francisco. I spoke with Severin Borenstein, who directs the Energy Institute at UC Berkeley's Haas School of Business. He says the Golden State is very vulnerable to price spikes when a refinery goes offline because we require cleaner burning fuel to help control air pollution.
California can't really substitute gasoline that is used in Arizona and Oregon and Nevada and other parts of the West because they actually don't use this cleaner burning gasoline.
Now, Borenstein says there are other refineries outside of California and in other countries that can produce gas for us, but he says those shipments probably won't start arriving for a few weeks.
All right, Mina, and then just quickly, what are the next steps in terms of the investigation and the refinery? Do we know, for example, when it might reopen?
Well, that would certainly help ease gas prices. I have seen estimates of about 3 months in news reports for the refinery to come back online, but I couldn't get confirmation of that from Chevron. We should know more once, you know, folks or investigators are able to go in and get a full sense of the extent of the damage.
All right. KQED reporter Mina Kim. Mina, thanks so much.
You're welcome, Scott.